Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. I hope you're having a wonderful evening. And I'm coming to you from New York City, the epicenter of the world. Although if you listen to some people, Brooklyn is that. But we are very cosmopolitan here, and we stand for the possibility of the world and all of the ills being resolved and taken care of and resolved. So we are standing for that. And let me introduce my host, co-host, Henry Abishakshan.
Hi, Glenn. Hello, everyone.
How are you this evening?
I'm great, great, great. And at a party with my girlfriend had a hen party, a brunch today, so she was celebrating her birthday.
Okay.
So I want to say, happy birthday to Tricia.
Excellent.
Yeah. How are you doing? How's New York?
New York was kind of a funky day. It was supposed to be 83 degrees, and the heat wave on the way out for the fall. But it rained this morning. I don't think it got above the mid-70s. So, but it was a good day. It was a good day. I actually was doing some house cleaning. Getting rid of some of the clutter in my house, and getting rid of some old clothes and going through some papers, and such. And so it was a good day for me. It was a productive day.
Yeah, it was beautiful here, probably about 65 or 70, and you need a coat on now. Okay.
Yeah.
It's one of those Chicago days where you get two seasons in one day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand that one.
Yeah.
Well, let me go ahead and do the declaration, and then we'll come back. So,
okay.
The Declaration of International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of and about those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, powering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. The purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide our participants with an opportunity to bring into being their vision for the Black community and the world. And then let me read the Black Youth Summit, the purpose. And then I'm going to also read the Black Young Adult purpose. So this is the International Black Youth Summit's purpose. We exist to facilitate the connection, self-expression, and empowerment of young people of African descent around the world. We are young people making our visions real in our communities and exemplifying the principles of youth, transformation, love, and possibility as a powerful approach to the universe. The purpose of the International Black Young Adult Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants ages 18 to 35, a space for reflection, communication, mentorship, and growth through vision, creation, and implementation. This conversation empowers young adults to powerfully transition to adulthood equipped for global success. So those are the three conversations that are present inside the International Black Summit, and we invite you to participate. And we've got summit shares that are opportunities for you to find out about the summit. We have prerequisites, which are a one-day program or course that is a standalone course that provides you an opportunity to not only prepare you for the annual event, but to really give you some tools to support yourself in your pursuit of your vision and inside your personal purpose. So whatever that purpose is here in the world. So those are the things that that we've got available inside of the International Black Summit. Back to you, Henrietta Berg.
All righty. Well, Glenn, tonight I thought that we might talk about, you know, several things. I've been with some friends of mine. We've been friends for a long, long time. And we were just sharing, you know, we did this. It was really like an exercise, but, you know, it's like a game. And it made me present to just acknowledgement, you know, how we like to celebrate and acknowledge people for whatever. But what we did was we went around and everybody shared the one thing, not the one thing, the one thing that they remember that about their mother. And it was it was women, so that's why it was mothers. If, you can do whatever you want, your mother, your father, you know, whatever. But the question was actually, what was the most embarrassing thing that ever occurred with your mother? And, oh, my God, you talk about funny. We heard some of the funniest stories, you know. But what I realized is that it really helped us clear. Like, get clear about a lot of things, you know. And something about talking about your mother. You know, some mothers had transitioned. Some were still alive, you know, and but it was that acknowledgement. It was that you got to talk about this person however you wanted to, because it ended up, you know, because a lot of people said, I can't think of anything embarrassing, you know. So they told funny stories or, you know, things like that. But once somebody told one of the embarrassing stories, then people were like, oh, yeah, I remember. I remember now, yes, my mother did this, or my mother did that, or she would, you know, we would all go to the store and get to the store, and when she got ready to pay for whatever, she would go in her bra and take the money out, and they talked about how embarrassing that was, you know. And now they do the same thing, You know, because they realize that's just a safe place to put things, you know.
That's right, because ain't nobody right. Going up in there, that's right, except them.
You know, so it was really good. It was a good experience, you know. I know last week we talked a lot about, you know, abuse, child abuse. And we said that we would you know, we might continue that conversation tonight. But in the conversation that we talked about, I would just like to hear some of the things that, you know, like some of the things that people just got from certain experiences. You know, last week you mentioned, Glenn, about your grandmother, I think, pulling your ear or something, and that, you know, that you never did. Tom?
She was the only one that I can remember that used that technique.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my mother's mother.
Okay. And so I was just thinking about asking a question like that, you know, or just being present to things that we thought were embarrassing, but we really learned that lesson. You know, we really learned that lesson from it, you know, just on a different tip. So that's what was, you know, that's one of the things that were on my mind. The other thing is, it's fun. Like, what's fun? Like, what's fun when you go to a party now? What are the things that are just fun to do? You know, you always can eat and drink, you know. But what are some of the fun things that you do now to enjoy yourself? Like at a party, do you find yourself, Glenn, in conversations a lot? Are they, like, is it always business that you discuss when you're out, or what? What's fun for you, Glenn, when you go out?
What's fun for me? Well, you know, I'd have to say what's fun for me is engaging people, finding out, you know, I'm well-traveled, so I'm always curious to find out what people who also has been traveled. But I think the most fun I have is engaging in people in something that they really enjoy. So finding out what that is and then engaging them in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's two things. One is usually informative. Usually that they're lit up about it because they're talking about something they enjoy talking about. And for me, it's usually something that I am versed enough to at least ask some intelligent questions to get them to go into it a little deeper. And so I think, so for me, having fun is really having people engage in conversations that are interesting for them as well as for myself.
Okay. Do you find that it's usually business that you're talking about? Or
no,
It could be anything.
Uh-huh. It could be traveling. It could be gardening. It could be sports. You'd actually be surprised at how many people have these diverse little hobbies, but don't get to talk about it very often.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always looking to engage people in a way that they're not normally engaged in, and then the interesting thing is the next time you see them, you ask them about that thing, and oftentimes they're surprised, number one, that you remembered that kind of detail, and they're usually surprised at, oh, I told you that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so into it,
right? They don't even realize
how in depth it went. Exactly. Because when they're engaged like that, they just go. I mean, it's just kind of, you know. So I would say that's what I enjoy. the yeah. most. What about you? What do you enjoy the most when you go to events?
I like conversation, you know, and it could be about anything. You know, like I like what we did today. I like listening because there were about 30 people there, I think. Yeah, about 25 to 30 people. And it was just so interesting, you know, like listening. And it's the other thing that's so interesting is how much people love their mothers. You know, like, I'm so present to that, right? You know, today, how people just love their mothers. And some people, you know, like, well, let me answer the question because I'm kind of getting off subject. But I like to, you know, I like to do exercises. That's why I love workshops, you know. I'm generally, if it's mixed, like if it's a male-female party, you will find me with the men most of the time because I find their conversation so interesting because they're things that I don't normally hear about, you know. So I like to really listen to what the men have to say.
Like what? Give me an example. Give me an example.
Like men talk about, they talk about everything, and I don't ever expect that. I'm always thinking they're talking about sports or, you know, or something like that. But men have conversations about relationships. You know, they have conversations about, current events. You know, and they feel how they feel about, you know, things that come out, like Jay-Z and Beyonce's sister. You know, they have conversations about television shows, you know, things that they watch on television. And it's always a different perspective, you know, where... men are like they kind of the men, not all men, of course, but the men that I listen to sometimes, they just have a generalized like, you know, like that just doesn't make sense. Those things don't make sense. Where the women will look at the same thing, and they just go into the details. You know, they go into more detail about it. How the person is dressed and how they're acting and whatever, where the men kind of look. A lot of men watch reality shows, and that surprised me that they actually watch these reality shows. And they look at it from, it's just a totally different perspective than the women. I'm trying to think of a good example
that actually is a pretty good example because I have been shocked by men into reality shows myself. Like I, J.K. and Bill Davis were into Survivor. And for me. These are two facilitators. One is a senior facilitator, and Bill Davis was an annual event coordinator for 1 year. And, you know, so I know these men very well. Had known them at that time for at least 10 years and was shocked to hear that they were into, you know, Survivor. I mean, I was like, huh? She says, oh, yeah, I don't ever miss it. I'm like, what? So I've got to share that with you as well. I was very surprised at these two men who I, you know, knew very well to be that interested in that. So, yeah, so I can get that.
Yeah, and it's real interesting, you know. It's just real interesting. One of the distinctions we have in the International Black Summit is holding the space. And the reason It just came up. I just got present to that distinction while you were sharing, because I was in a conversation with one of the facilitators the other day. And it kind of speaks to what I'm talking about. Like, I looked at holding the space as discernment. You listen, you listen, you listen, you discern, and then you speak to whatever it is that you see. Some things you you hold, some things you don't. Okay? And the coaching that I received from one of the other facilitators was, you hold it all. You hold it all. And you still speak to what you see. So there's no, like, discernment that's really necessary. You just hold it. And that's what I was saying. And it was a male that I was being coached by a male. And so that's kind of what I'm saying, the difference in talking to a man, talking to a woman, where there's discernment, you know, like my experience, you know, is that we'll, you know, we will say, okay, this is important, this is important, this is not important, this is some mess, you know, this is, you know, like we go through all of that, and where men will look at it in a more general way, and it's kind of like holding space. You hold the space for all of it, like it's all important, you know, like all of it is important.
Mm-hmm.
And then you speak what you see, holding all of it. And it's not like either way is right or wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the difference, you know, I enjoy the difference. You know, I love talking to a group of women who will give you every detail, every, you know, like every detail of everything. And then to hear it, you know, from the male perspective, where it's just, you know, well, A, B, C, and D. You know, it's just like a general conversation about it. You know, well, it was this or it was this, but you don't get those details. I know. I have a friend who says, I can't ask my husband. He doesn't give you the details. You know, he doesn't. I want to hear all of the details, and he'll just say, oh, it was good. Oh, it was, well, no, it wasn't good. She's like, I'm always wanting to know the details, so I always have to call somebody else. But it's good, and to me, it's very practical, but because sometimes the details are not important. They're just not important. And they can be distractions. You know, they can be distractions from what's really going on, you know. So I enjoy, you know, like I enjoy going to parties where I can do that. And I might go, because, you know, there are many parties where you go, depending on the region that you are in. Once upon a time, I could go to parties like when I was living in the South. I would go to parties, and all of the men would be in one room, and all the women would be in another room. And I was like, this is a party, you know. But that's the way it was. The men would get together and talk, and the women would get together and talk, you know. I wasn't used to that coming from Chicago. And then, because, you know, in Chicago, people are playing Big West. They're dancing, you know. It's a different kind of a party, like. And so there'd be a lot of things going on. Now there's always something. Somebody's watching something on television, or the DJ, you know, now, because you just have access to so much music now that you can just say, you got so-and-so, and somebody just pulls it up. And you can hear whatever song you want to, you know, you want to hear. So parties
right.
are, you know, like they're different. But I enjoy parties. You know, I enjoy church parties. I enjoy just people getting together and letting their hair down, you know, just really being real and having fun. You know, I love, like, remember, Glenn, the party we went to in Long Island last year?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one? Now, that's
that was
the party.
A couple of years ago, actually.
Oh, was it? That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But that's my kind of party.
Okay.
The only thing in Chicago, there would have been, people would have been inside playing cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That would have been the, you know, people are eating, people are barbecuing, people are dancing, everybody's on the dance floor at one time or the other. There's no age limit. You know, you got the children, you have the teenagers, the young adults, and the middle-aged people, and you have the seniors. You know, it was just everything. That's, I like those. It sounds like a family reunion, but it actually was a party, you know, where you just talking, and it's just fun things to do. I think we could do more of that. I think it would just help the overall consciousness. You know, if we gathered kind of more often, where it seems like we've gotten so serious about everything that we do, and that we don't party enough, you know. And I always wonder, that's always a question for me. Like, why do you stop having fun? You know, like, why do you stop having fun, where that used to be, you know, that's where Friday, that song, Friday Night, just got paid, and
mm-hmm.
you're going out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going
right.
out. And when you think about that, you have something to look forward to every weekend. You go out, you have fun, you know, you do your, clean your house, do whatever you have to do, prepare, but you went out and you have fun every week. Every weekend,
mm-hmm.
whether it was out to an event or whether it was over somebody's house, you know, I think we could use more of that. Back to you, Glenn.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, you said a lot there, my dear. You know, it's important that you do have fun in your life at any age, especially when you get older. I think that it's important to laugh and enjoy life and to appreciate the things that you do have. I wanted to go back to something that you said, and which I found interesting. So do you still find it to be true that the parties in the North are that much different even than the parties in the South, with in terms of the men and women being in one room, in the South and that in the North, that they seem to be more together? Or was that just a phenomenon that you found years ago? What would you say to that?
Say it again.
I was questioning the piece about in the South when men and women were in separate rooms, as opposed to in the North when they seemed to be more mingling. You
uh-huh.
still find that to be true?
I haven't done a lot in the South lately, so that's hard for me to respond to that.
Okay.
Because I really don't have a way to measure it at this time, you know.
Okay, Okay. One of the things that I remember, I know from school, and the school parties were definitely a lot of bidwist being played, but I noticed I played a lot of bidwist up in Rochester. So, and of course Rochester's cold and you're shut in. Every week people would get together at different people's homes and would have these parties. Not even a party, just a gathering where you have some food, maybe it's a potluck, or a barbecue, and you have some drinks, and some people be talking smack and playing cards. I mean, that was kind of a nice couples thing to do, but it was also a lot of single people did that as well. It seemed to be I don't do that as much or know of events like that as much in New York City, for example, which seems to have a lot more events to offer. But a small town like Rochester seemed like it was, you always had those kind of outlets to go hang out with. Interesting. Back to you, Henrietta. Oh, I think we lost my co-host here. Well, anyway, we've got some open lines if you'd like to talk about what kinds of things that you do for fun. Please call in. And if you're on the line already, press 1 and you can open up your mic and allow you to participate inside of this conversation. So what are the things that you like to do that you do for fun in this day and age with all this technology? We'd like to hear from you. And meantime, I'm going to, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Looking for my blog talk here. Here it is. Okay. Well, I think for me, one of the fun things is networking events. I think it's a great opportunity to meet people for your business and as well. So we want to hear from you guys. I want to hear what it is that you want to do, like to do. It's funny, I'm not into movies like I used to. I'm not into concerts. But I do enjoy engaging with people and, from different backgrounds. Kind of interesting. Just keep noticing that. Don't know what it means. Doesn't know if it means anything, actually. But just notice that I do it. So, just kind of pondering those thoughts. This is the International Black Summer Talk Show Network. We come to you live every Sunday. We'll probably look at changing the time again. That's something that we've talked about but haven't done. It's kept at the same time, same bat channel. I want to let you know that we've got information at our website, www.blacksummit.org. And you can tune in to this number to listen and or to speak. For those of you in the chat room, we've got some open lines, 646-716-9827. The International Black Summit is an all-volunteer organization, and we get together. We're a 501c3. We're a not-for-profit, and we're fully self-sustained, maintained, and managed, and loving it. So, If you'd like to get some more information about what we do, and if you got heard the beginning of the call, you heard our declaration, and holding the space is something, one of the distinctions that was talked about today. And so we have distinctions, and the distinctions are our tools that we've invented to support folks in creating conversations and being able to support their vision. And be consistent with their purpose. You know, really look at their purpose. So, those are some things that we actually talk about and work on as the International Black Summit. And, of course, we have all kinds of folks that attend the summit, you know, from all walks of life. You know, we've got folks that come from corporate, come from the street, come from anything and everything in between. You know, the summit is an event that takes place during the first weekend in August each year, attended by people of Black African descent who are committed to the enfoldment of the Declaration in their lives. It's a gathering of people of African descent from diverse backgrounds, countries, lifestyles, opinions, and views who come together to celebrate and empower the vision of the Declaration. It's also an exploration of questions and issues which empower participants to realize their vision for the Black community and the world. This is a place to clear. And clearing is actually one of the distinctions. A place to clear yourself has to be able to hear what life is telling you. So we at the summit really talk about and look to create an environment where you can be clear, have some clear thoughts, so that you can put into action some specific things around your your vision and your purpose. Acknowledgement, praise, and celebration of who we are as people and the contribution we are in the world. A global shift in the conversation about who people of Black African descent are in the world. So these are some of the things that are available inside of the International Black Summit. And we really invite you to take a look, participate, and be part of the conversation. We were in Belize, had a wonderful time in Belize. This past August, and we're going to be in Atlanta this year. So we really want to look forward. And to tell you the truth, you talk about a fun event. The International Black Summit is actually a very fun event. And it's one of those events where you get to engage people, you get to deal with the people from different walks of life, as I talked about earlier. Different opinions, backgrounds, lifestyles, and but all committed to moving our community forward, and all are working on projects and have a vision and a purpose inside of a commitment to the Black African descent community around communities around the world. So with that, I'm going to give it back to my co-host, Henrietta.
And, you know, actually, Glenn, I was thinking, you know, one of the reasons I love the summit, annual summit event so much is it's everything that I just talked about. It's a party, you know, and not just a party, but there's celebration that occurs in the
annual summit event in the moment. You know, like, in there's certain moments where it's like a party. Like, we were in Belize. Here's a good example. You were in with the children. Oh, yeah, but you came in while this was going on. And I think you did anyway. And there was, they had set these beautiful wicker chairs for the facilitators in front of the room. And there was a table that was made out of, I'm not sure if it was tree bark or something, but it was something very, very sturdy. And, you know, in the summit, we believe that dancing and music stir up the soul, you know, like it stirs up. And when we're working on parts of us, you know, it can get real something. I won't say what it is, but it can get tense. And it can be uncomfortable, and we can get stuck in places because we don't want to be with our authentic self. You know, we sometimes, just like in life, we feel like we have to put on a face. But in the annual summit event, that's just not acceptable. And we always know because of the way the room flows. And so sometimes we'll just stop, and the DJ will start playing the music, and everybody is required to dance. Everybody is required to dance. And it was so interesting. Two things come to mind. One is, you know, facilitators kind of dance around, and people get up and dance, and there are people who, of course, want to stay in their seats. And the music just keeps going until everybody gets up and dances and dances and dances until the energy in the room shifts. And I know you've been a part of that, Glenn, over the years. Well, this year, each one of us stood on the table and danced. Did you come in the room when we were doing that?
I did not, but if you remember, I got up on a table and danced.
Okay, that's what I thought. So that's what I'm, right, that's what I'm talking about, you know. And it was like, I can remember, because I was the last one. I kept getting everybody else to get up there. And then I heard, you have to do it too. And what was that experience like for you? Let me describe it.
Let me go back and say, I was part of the landmark of, course called the 6-day advanced course, and
uh-huh.
One of the teams that I led was the office team, and of course, the office team, you know, you're doing paperwork, you're getting reports in for the course leaders and so on and so forth. And so it's always about producing some kind of paper result. And sometimes it gets a little boring in there. So we used to have a thing called a boogie break.
Okay.
And the boogie break, similar to how we set it up in the summit in terms of changing the energy, sometimes the energy was getting slow and a little dreary in there. And so we'd clear the desk and we'd have a boogie break. And we'd have like about 5 minutes where we'd be up on the tables and turn up the music real loud and just start partying. Now,
okay.
Of course, who I was I'm sure that my teams under my leadership had more boogie breaks than the norm. But so it was just a natural occurrence for me when I come to the summit to have a boogie break. So again, getting up on a table or some object, was my way of leading the event, kind of to get people outside of their head and more. So when I came in the room, and I believe it was on the Sunday, but it might have been Saturday, whatever it was, and I think it was you that invited me up to this table.
Right.
I of course, it was like old hat to me. It kind of, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, Boogie Break. So we're,
oh, okay.
You know, and so one of the things in leading the youth room is that, of course, the youth see the person that's leading them out of control, seemingly, and so it kind of gives them a little bit more permission to be who they are.
Okay.
And so for me, it's important that as a leader that you don't always have it all together, that sometimes you just got to let your hair down and be real and be, you know, let it hang.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real good. And you know, there are cultures, different cultures that never work on the weekend. They just do not work on the weekends, and it doesn't matter if they work Tuesday through Saturday. On Sunday and Monday, they leave town or they party, and they party until it's time for them to go to work, you know. And it's real interesting how we are. I think probably everybody did that 20s, unless they were married, you know, and had families early on. But there's something about that. When we stop doing that, it's like we got really, really serious about life. And it's not like we weren't serious about life before.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, that was a major part that we stopped. As you get older, you stop it. And it's almost, but then retired people, that's the first thing they pick up. Like in Chicago, line dancing is so huge. It's so huge. Now, some people are retiring so they can go line dance. You know, it's like helping them. It's like helping them make that decision. You know, people who are like, well, I might work one more year. I might, but their friends are partying. And they do it 3 and 4 times a week. And then they have line dance parties where they will invite the group from the southwest side to the south side, southeast side, to the downtown group, to the west side group, and they all dress up, and they have their T-shirts and their little things, you know, and they're men and women. But they people in Chicago, they start partying again when they retire. And just think how much more enjoyable work would be if we never stopped that celebration on the weekend. We just never stop doing that. I just, there's something that I'm present to about that, you know. And, you know, you do what you do, and it's all good. It's really all good. But in the summit, annual, at the summit annual event, we take those breaks, you know. We sing. Somebody will get up and sing. It's amazing how many beautiful voices are in the summit body. We sing, we dance, we recite poetry, we, you know, whatever you feel you have to contribute, there's a space there for you to contribute. And you can do it as you feel. That's what I love about it. You know, Belize was just incredible. The griots, the storytellers, you know, that participated in the annual summit event. We learned folk dances and folk songs, and you know, she'd have us up and teaching us the song and the dance movements all at the same time. It was, oh my God, it was so much fun, and we just learned so much about the customs, you know, in Belize. Also, the one night when we went to the university
It was their emancipation night. That was another thing that was just... We got background noise playing.
Oh, that's Mr. Softy. Let me... Okay.
Oh, that's the ice cream man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. But, you know, that... You know, when we went to the university on Friday night, that first night, and we heard the speakers, the three gentlemen who were working on their PhDs at the University of the West Indies in Belize. And that was another really, you know, just really interesting to hear them speak about blacks in America, you know. That was really, really nice. But the annual summit event is generated in the moment, you know, and I keep saying that because when people hear the word summit, they think we have speakers and that we have, you know, we work on specific things that are going on in the black community. And we do have speakers and we do work on things that are going on in the black community. But those speakers are the participants, and the issues that are going on in the black community are the ones that are going on in the world of the participant. So it's about you, you know, it's about you and your vision and bringing your vision forth and what it takes. Like, what shift do you have to make to bring your vision into manifestation? And we do that by listening to one another, by distinguishing inquiries, you know, looking into a question or an inquiry from the position of our authentic self. Not giving pat answers and not just responding based on what we think people will hear or what we think sounds good, but what comes from the depth of your soul in terms of your vision for yourself and for your community. And those are the inquiries that we do. Those are the spaces that we move through. And by time the weekend has ended, there's a question that comes up from the work that we do in that annual summit event, or an inquiry, or a declaration, or instruction. And this year, you have all four. You know, you have instruction in the space of silence is the instruction. So it lets you know that there's a space in silence that you must go to. And when you go there, you discover of your authentic self. So it's not just something that occurs, but you must do this in the space of silence. And it's not the only way to do it. It's just a way. And this happens to be the way that came up to do it out of in the belief experience in the space of silence. I'll just recite the question, the inquiry, the instruction. You know, but it's the question. We really call it the question for 2014-2015. And it's in the space of silence. I discover some aspect of my authentic self. Will I grant being to what I am built for? So, you know, when we look at this question, and we looked at it last week, and we'll distinguish it a little bit more and more every week. When I look at that question, I look at it as it tells me to still myself and get quiet and go to the silence. And it tells me that I will discover an aspect of my authentic self, not just myself, this self that you hear on the radio or that I deal with every day, but my authentic self. There will be an aspect of that perfection, I'll call it, because I say that authentic self is perfect. And I will discover a part of it. You know, will I grant being to what I am built for? So I have this discovery, and then I have choice. Will I say yes to it? Let's say I discover that I'm really a great pianist. I have a piano like most people have pianos. Never play it. Don't think of myself as a great pianist. Well, your authentic self might discover that aspect that if you just played chords or scales or whatever, that you could actually be a great composer if you would just move in that direction. So you discover that. That's the part that is revealed to you in the silence. Then the question is, will you grant being to what you are built for? Now, the discovery has told you, pianist, but it's up to you. You get to say yes to it, or you get to keep your piano in the corner and dust it off every once in a while. But it's asking you, will you grant being to what you are built for? So this question is one that I love. I say that every year. I know I say that every year. And I love this question because I've discovered some wonderful, wonderful things about myself that have me moving in a different direction than I've ever been in. And so look at the question and see what it does for you. In the space of silence, I discover some aspect of my authentic self. Will I grant being to what I am built for? And I charge you with that task of, you know, sitting with that question and seeing what is revealed to you about your authentic self. Glenn, back to you.
Yes, we've got a listener. I'm going to open up your mic. 757-593. Go ahead. You're live on the air. 757-593. Go ahead. You're on mute. We can't hear you if you're talking. 757-593. Okay. I'll turn off the mic then. Anyway.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for listening. And we understand if you don't want to speak, that's fine. But thanks for listening.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, there's so many things about the summit, about the question, about the conversation, about empowering our community. You know, and that's really what we're out to do and what we're up to do, and we're looking for opportunities to do that. And so, you know, I'm always excited. And I want to get to something. We're out of time, but one of the things that I want to distinguish about the summit is that the summit is about listening and listening for what life is saying. And in so doing, it's very unpredictable what are the conversations that are going to occur in the summit. So we can't tell you. It's not scripted. It's not. We don't even have an agenda. We actually listen to the space to hear what life is, how life is participating, and we ask that life through the embodiment of the participants. And it certainly does do that, and in doing so, we always come away in awe of who we are as individuals, as a collective, as people, and the contributions that we have to provide. So it's all inspiring. It's a conversation. So it is just very special, just very special. So with that, we're actually out of time. I'm going to give it to you to close us out, Henrietta.
All righty. Thank you, everyone, who's listening, who will listen at another time. Send us your questions and any topics that you would like us to cover. We'll be more than happy to. We will take a look at 25 years of annual summit events and what was going on and what those questions were and what were the current events during those years, and see how those current events relate to the questions that came out after every annual summit event. So stay tuned for some really great conversation, and join us right here every Sunday evening. And look for a time change. You know, there might be a time change, but just stay tuned. And we'll always be archived. So thank you. Thank you for listening. God bless you. We love you. We appreciate you. And we acknowledge you for who you are in your community. Good night.
Good night, and God bless. And thank you for listening. Excuse me. Oh, my goodness.